Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day.
And good Thursday, everyone. Fred Jackson here today, along with Ray Pritchard in Kansas. Ray, is it nice and cool in Kansas?
It's raining here in Kansas. A lot of wind, a lot of rain, and it's been really hot, Fred, so I think we're glad for it, but it's a messy Thursday morning here.
Yeah, well, it's the summer cauldron here. When you walk out in the morning and you kind of move your hand through the air and it gets soaked right away, you know you're in the Mississippi summer.
That's
also
right.
In studio with me today, Steve Jordahl, reporter for OneNewsNow.com.
It appears the inmates are running the asylum.
Yeah, we're the B team today, folks. In case you're wondering where Tim and Ed and Walker may be. Well, I speculated the other day that maybe they were going on a golfing trip.
Yeah.
However, I reconsidered that because if Ed is there, I'm not sure you can use a hockey stick at a golf course.
It would be interesting to see him try. Maybe to putt on the greens he could.
Anyway, we're going to do our very best today to bring you up to date on the latest news. And I'll tell you what, folks, you talk about latest news. In the last several programs here on Today's Issues, it's like we're running into the studio with the latest. And once again, it's Supreme Court decisions.
Literally running
occasionally. Well, we have two decisions from the United States Supreme Court that just came out in the last several minutes. They deal with the same subject, the subject being the tax returns of President Donald Trump. Two separate cases. In the first case, it deals with an investigation by the state of New York, headed by Prosecutor Cy Vance. Some call him a political enemy of the president. And in this case, this relates back to Michael Cohen days. It relates back to allegations that then candidate Donald Trump, and they're going back to 2011 with his tax returns in this case, that he paid hush money to people that he had affairs with. All right? So Trump has been arguing that he has absolute immunity from those kinds of subpoenas. In this case this morning, the United States Supreme Court, in a decision written by Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, that the president does not have absolute immunity in all of these cases. However, he did send it back down to that court, and now it will go to the grand jury in that case. The argument from the president's team of lawyers in that case was basically this: he was not the president then. And so, of course, that's the argument from the other side. He wasn't the president then, therefore he can't use presidential immunity. Now, in the second case, it was, I think, at least some are considering a clear victory for the president. This had to do with subpoenas from Democrat-controlled House committees to get the president's tax returns. We're talking Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, and others. In that case, it's kind of interesting, again, written by the Chief Justice. In that case, he made mention of motivation for getting the president's tax returns. Clearly, obviously, the president at this point of these subpoenas, he is in the White House. Number two, what the Chief Justice was saying in the decision is, we need to be careful with this because it can turn into a political witch hunt. In this case, it can be argued political enemies of the president are trying to get information for political reasons, i.e., discredit the president, discredit what he's trying to do as president.
It's a fishing expedition.
It's a fishing expedition. So here's where we are, I think, and I'll get to both of you gentlemen to comment on this. In the first case, it is possible that we will get information on the president's hush money allegations to these women that he allegedly had affairs with. that may come about because the grand jury gets this information, and this may not shock people. Somebody on the grand jury might leak the information to the New York Times.
You think?
Is that possible?
In the second case, the collective wisdom, at least for the reaction in the last 10, 15 minutes, is likely this goes back down the lower court. They have to do the arguments all over again. And we're not likely to get a resolve on this before the November election on that case of the committees, the Democrat committees, wanting to look at the president's tax returns. All right. To you first, Ray, your assessment on all this.
Well, number one, I think that this second case is hugely important because it's going to go back down. And the Chief Justice Roberts said that they did not give enough deference to the doctrine of separation of powers, which is a huge constitutional issue. So if the bottom line in all this is anything going to come out on the president's taxes in the second case before the election, I think you're right, Fred. The answer on that is certainly no. That's going to be tied up in litigation for some months to come. So I think that's off the table before November the 3rd. The first case, that's the trickier one because this is about did he really pay hush money or not? And you're saying you think that actually, that portion of his returns could possibly come to light before November. Well, would that be explosive? No, I don't think that's going to determine the election, but it'll be interesting to see if that really does come out between now and then.
Steve?
Both of these are really nuanced decisions. Neither one is a clear victory for either side. Now, I'll caveat this by saying I'm not a lawyer, nor do I play one on the radio. But it's not unusual for the Supreme Court to remand a case back down to the lower court with instructions, resolve it given these guidelines.
Yes.
But in this case, a lot of people that legal minds seem to be making a big deal of the remand, the retrial. So I think it may be a bigger issue in this case. Hmm. I think nobody can claim a clear victory and nobody can claim a clear defeat. They have kind of punted on this.
Yeah, a little bit. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. But I think in the first case, the Trump administration, I think, does have some legitimacy to be worried about.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of doesn't matter. Let's say the president wins this election. Then he continues the fight afterwards. If Donald Trump loses in this upcoming election, then the second case becomes a moot point. I mean, the Democrats don't really care anymore about this.
Right. So I don't think it's impossible. It's unconceivable to me, let me put it that way, that if you give the Democrats in Congress thousands and thousands of pages of financial documents on a multinational mega corporation, that they're not going to come up with something that they say is wrong. And that, I predict, if he wins the election, will be the basis for the second term impeachment effort. It's coming, folks.
Yeah. Well, the battle never ends. I've never seen a President Ray face so much opposition from so many corners.
Well, it's not just opposition, but now it's every corner of the media. It's mm-hmm. Trump versus the TV, the radio, the internet website, social media. Everybody is lined up against him. And so they're going to, on CNN and the other places, MSNBC and so on, they're going to spin all this against him. But as you guys have both said, this is not a clear victory or a clear defeat. It's a pretty predictable Supreme Court response, it seems to me. Splitting the difference, sending it back down, remanding with further instructions. I think this is the kind of case the Supreme Court typically would not like to get into, because it's between the second case is between the Congress and the president, and the Supreme Court doesn't like to have to adjudicate issues like that. But here we are in the summer of 2020.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to go, and we have a guest, Jan Markell, as we usually do on Thursdays. But I wanted to bring to your attention another important development, story development just happened this morning as well. And that is a change of heart by the Undersecretary of the Navy. Now, we've talked a little bit about this. Remember, there was a directive in connection with telling Navy personnel with regards to protecting them from the coronavirus that they couldn't go to churches. AFA has spoken out about this and put a call out for our supporters to contact the Secretary of the Navy and say, no, you can't do this. You can't single out church services and tell your people that they can't go when you're not telling them don't go to restaurants, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I have before me a press release from the Undersecretary of the Navy this morning. I won't read all of this, but there's certainly a change of heart. Accordingly, I am directing you to ensure that all service guidance reflects the reference message and to inform commanders to incorporate this clarification, allowing attendance at religious services where COVID-19 transmission mitigation measures may be appropriately applied. Now, that is government gobbledygook for, hey, listen, we made a mistake. We weren't clear enough in the first directive that went out, but we do want to make it clear right now. And I assume what they're talking about, mitigation measures, has to do with, does the church encourage people to wear masks? Does the church have hand cleanser available for people? That kind of thing. But you can't single out church services as saying those are totally forbidden. So, Ray, that is good news.
Well, it's huge. And not saying that anybody in the Navy has to go to church, but Fred is saying if you want to go to church, you can.
Yes.
That's a great victory.
Yeah, and it bothers me, Steve, when we've seen so much in the way of directives. We've talked about California churches. You're not allowed to sing. You know, you got to keep congregations down to 100 people, that kind of thing. So there's no question that there are corners in this country that are targeting Christians who want to attend church services.
Yeah, and we've seen it at various different government agencies, states, and communities are doing different requirements. California is the one that most people are talking about as being draconian, where they say you can't sing, etc. I think it's good that the government maybe is leading the way to say, hey, we can't do this. Mm. Maybe that'll give some direction to the courts, because there's a lot of cases that are pending now about church services in the pandemic.
Which we are watching.
Yes.
All right. We're joined right now by Jan Markell, host of Understanding the Times, right here on American Family Radio, Saturdays at 1 p.m. Central and Sunday at 12 noon. Jan, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. You know, when we talk to you in the winter months,
we
often ask for for an update on your weather because
you
live in the deep chill at that time of the year. And we kind of feel sorry for you, Jan, honestly. But right now, there may be a little bit of envy when we're living in the South in the middle of the summer. And I'm assuming you're a little bit cooler up there in the great state of Minneapolis.
No, actually, our temperatures would be very comparable. We're having a brutally hot summer, for which I don't complain, gentlemen, because I'll complain about cold, but not warmth. we're having brutally hot. It's a solid 90 degrees this winter, this summer, and that's quite unusual.
Wow. No relief. Maybe the humidity is not as bad up there as it is here.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
Oh, that too.
You know, I'm not a good rep for the Chamber of Commerce here. because we've got so many problems up here. And I just recorded Curtis Bowers yesterday, a couple of programs on the communist influence in America. Mm. But, you know, the communists targeted Minnesota years and years ago, I don't know, probably 1930s. And then around the 90s, the communists and the Muslims, I think we talked about this a week or two ago, the Red-Green Alliance happened here in Minnesota, Islam and communism uniting here to kind of wreck the state, and affecting Wisconsin and affecting Illinois, Chicago, too. So this is not a place you might want to think about moving to.
You're exactly right, Jan. You're not a good representative for the Chamber of Commerce.
However, maybe you're a good representative for the new state of Minneapolis.
Yes, Minnesota.
Well, I stand corrected. There was a lot of Minneapolis missing. I mean, we got several miles missing in Minneapolis. and then a mile or so missing in St. Paul, and that's from what happened back in late May. So, yeah, and that was it. That's stirred up by the communist various outlets, from Antifa to Black Lives Matter to Soros groups. I mean, it's a mess. It's really a mess all over the country. But as Curtis Bowers says, the blue states, and he's really blunt. I don't know if you know Curtis or not, but he's been teaching Christians about communism here for years and does a brilliant job. And he just says, if you're in a blue state, think about moving, because it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, we did a story back earlier this week about Californians questioning wanting to go to Montana and people moving out of New York. I was going to ask you, in the wake of the city council decision there in Minneapolis, that's been almost a month now where they said they wanted to get rid of the police department. Are you seeing any kind of that kind of movement, hearing about people wanting to sell their houses in metropolitan Minneapolis and get out to the suburbs?
Yeah, well, many are leaving the state, and which not everyone can do. I mean, jobs and family issues and all keep most people where they are. But here's the good news. Before that could happen, any kind of police, whatever, reduction or defunding or removing, that has to go to the mayor. Our mayor will not, the Minneapolis mayor will not approve it. I believe it then has to go to the people to vote. And even though Minnesota liberals are nuts, you know, they're not going to vote to remove the police. So I think the likelihood of that happening in this state is next to impossible. But here's the point. I think the point is the mindset by some leaders is there. And because the city council was unanimous. I don't know how many, if it's 6 or 10 on the council. But when you think of a half a dozen or more, with one mind to remove the one protection that people have against crime, you know we're in some sort of end-time delusion, some kind of delusion the Bible predicts for our last days.
Well, Jan, talk to us a little bit about that. There are a lot of people, you know, Christians, that are looking at what's going on in our country and in our world right now, and they're just saying this: we must be in the end times right now.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to be talking about that on your program this weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to look at, with Mark Hitchcock, Where is America in Bible Prophecy? And I think the conclusion to that question is we sure don't know. There are some intriguing options, but Mark Hitchcock and I conclude America is probably going to hold together one way or another. Until the rapture of the church. Once the rapture happens, that's probably between 30 and 50 million Americans are going to disappear right before that tribulation begins. And that is what will bring America down, because the righteousness, the salt and light, the things that delay the decay, and that's Christians, will be gone during that tribulation, and that's when everything just literally hits the fan. But the Bible has many verses about an end-time delusion, and it's sometimes called a strong delusion. And Fred, I think it goes, and I think we've talked about this before, back to Romans 1, where you just get this, God sends delusion. He sends people believe things that are depraved. He sort of dumbs people down. Now, I don't understand the mind of God, why he would want to do that, but my hunch is during the days of Noah, he looked upon the civilization there and saw that it was evil and it was corrupt, and he probably threw his hands up, said, I give up, I'm going to do away with this. And they came under strong delusion, except for 8 righteous people. Mm. And remember, there may have been billions alive at that time, so if you can imagine the kind of thinking that overtook the planet, and that's kind of returning now, and I think we see it this summer. And who would have thought, you know, in December, January, that 2020 was going to play out as it has? But I think it's for God's end time purposes. We don't know what that might be, but God has a reason for everything he does, and he's allowing it. He's not causing it, but he's allowing it.
Right.
Jen, about the rapture of the church, somebody asked me the other day, I just want to kick this question over to you because it's an interesting one. So let's say 30, 50 million Christians suddenly disappear. When the moment of the rapture comes, how in the world is that going to be explained by the media? Yeah. Will they ignore that or what?
Well, you know, Ray, that's $64 million question. And the way I would surmise, and who knows, we don't know, but my hunch is they're going to blame it on UFOs, and which is why I don't put down as silliness any kind of recurrence, and it's going on right now, resurgence of UFO interest and UFO sightings. I believe them to be demonic. They're totally demonic. They're not people from other planets. They're demons, but they're resurging right now, and I think that the unsaved people left behind are going to say, well, kind of good riddance to some of these people, and aliens took them to another planet. Now, we don't know that, but what else could be an option? I mean, you don't just vanish into thin air. There's got to be an explanation, and people will try to come up with something.
Hey, Jan, this is Steve Jordahl. A year ago, I could not have imagined getting from the culture we had in America, the freedoms we had in America, to the tribulation. I didn't see a path from here to there. I believed that it was going to happen, but I didn't see a path. 2020, now I see a path between where we are or where the country is and the tribulation. If the church gives up its right to meet like that, we're seeing repressive governments telling you what to wear.
Yeah.
Do you sense that this, and I don't know, I know this is difficult to answer, but do you sense that this is the beginning of the end, or is this just another sign that it could happen and it might happen in another 100, 200,000 years?
Well, and again, we don't know, and it is speculation, but I think it's okay to speculate. I do see this as the beginning of the end. Now, that's for Christians, that's not a huge problem. It means eternity is we're headed there fairly soon via the rapture, or some will enter eternity through natural causes, death, whatever. But I don't see it as bad news. I just do not see it as bad news. Now, having said all that, to watch what we have to watch on a daily level by the media is so tough. I mean, I suspect a lot of TVs are being turned off. You know, thank God for Christian radio, because there we can hear the good news. Amen. But if we got to sit with a daily diet of watching monuments torn down and our history shredded and rabble-rousing, whether it's Black Lives Matter, Antifa, I mean, it's overload, it's overdose, and it's getting people down. It really is.
Amen. You know, I've been reading Isaiah and Jeremiah, and certainly warnings in those days to the people of Israel, but also intermingled over and over again in those books, you see the promise of God for a better day ahead for believers, and we have to hold on to that. That's
for
sure.
We have to, Fred.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
You know, one more point on the rapture. I think one thing for sure, the unsaved world will not miss us.
No, they won't. They'll be saying, we're so glad they're gone.
Yeah. Yes. Because, after all, we are deplorables.
That's right.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Jan, once again, you're going to be talking about this on your program this weekend, correct?
We will. Yep. Thank you. Yes, we will.
All right, Jan Markell, right. Thank you so much
for
being with us, as always. Host of Understanding the Times. Don't forget this Saturday, right here at American Family Radio, 1 p.m. Central, and then again on Sunday at 12 p.m. Central. Hey, listen, we're just getting started here today, folks. There is so much more. And we're going to be joined by Alex McFarland, Dr. Alex McFarland, host of Exploring the Word, heard weekdays right here on American Family Radio at 3 p.m. Central. And so much more news on this very busy day with the B-Team here on today's issues. We're back right after the break.
We got nothing but Italians on this show.
We're changing lives one question at a time. Trivia Friday is educational programming.
What big cat can't roar?
That's pathetic.
The mime cat. I've seen them. They got those white gloves on their paws.
You use milk to sweeten your breath.
In the first century.
What happened when the milk soured?
You got trouble.
Yeah, right that's there. A good.
See, you don't get a second date. I'll just tell you that right now.
Trivia Friday, 10 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Wondering how you'll finish your degree now? At Liberty University, we want to help. So when you transfer into one of our more than 100 undergraduate online programs this fall, you could earn up to $3,600 in transfer student scholarships, or more if you live in Virginia. That means you could pay less than $900 per course and transfer in up to 75% of your degree. That's up to 90 credits. Save time and money at a school that's been helping students like you for over 30 years. Learn more by texting DEGREE to 49595. That's DEGREE to 49595.
The other day, I received a letter from a worker at the Union Pacific Railroad. He was a bit upset over the company's decision to offer diversity and inclusion classes. The classes meant for white people taught by blacks on how not to be a racist. Another worker sent me an internal email inviting employees to share stories about systemic discrimination. Union Pacific says just saying you are a racist is not good enough anymore. You have to actually work to be anti-racist. Clearly, workers should be able to do their jobs free from any sort of discrimination based on the color of their skin. But to presuppose that people are inherently racist because they are white is simply outrageous. Union Pacific said their ultimate goal is to create an environment where workers can bring their whole self and thrive. And here I thought the goal was to make the trains run on time. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And indeed, welcome back to this Thursday edition of Today's Issues. Fred Jackson sitting in for Tim and Ed and Walker, and Ray Pritchard is here with me, and Steve Jordahl from the newsroom, and we're doing our very best to keep up our end here as the B-team on this day while our companions are away for a day, and we hope they enjoy their day together as they're out there, and a good break from the routine is always a good thing. All right, just before we get to Dr. Alex McFarlane, the mainstream media is in mourning this morning.
Oh, it is.
They're in mourning this morning.
And why?
And they're in mourning because they were all predicting there would be an uptick in the number of unemployment claims.
Indeed.
And the numbers came out, and it just wasn't so. For the 14th week, I believe, in a row, the number of claims has gone down. So what does that mean? Well, that means basically is that, as the president has promised, going back even to the early days of this pandemic, once we got through the worst of it and the country started to reopen again, then people would be getting their jobs back. And that's exactly... Now, listen, there was still slightly more than 1.3 million Americans who applied for unemployment benefits. So we're not minimizing for a lot of folks that there are still suffering because of all of this. But the trend, Ray, continues. And the trend is the country is starting to get back to some degree of normalness.
Well, two things are happening at once here. Slowly, the number of deaths from the coronavirus, it's going down.
Mm.
And we know there's a lot more testing, so they're finding more cases. And good, you know, go find the cases, get the ones who need treatment, treat them. But the death count has been going down week by week by week and continues. And the good thing is Americans have said, Fred, we're not going to be locked down forever.
Yes. That's right.
We're not going to stay at home forever. Americans have voted with their feet, with their cars, with their pocketbooks. They are ready to get back to life as normal or as close to normal. And they've said, we're going to go back to work and we'll deal with the virus as we can. So America is on the way back, and the numbers just one more proof of that.
Absolutely. You know, quite a debate yesterday with regards to the president's plan to try to reopen the nation's schools.
Yes.
And right. Steve, he's getting opposition to that, even though, and you know, often the Democrats talk about, let's listen to the science.
Right.
Well, yesterday there was a meeting at the White House, and the scientists are saying, number one, kids in that age bracket, kids in that school age bracket are the least likely to get the virus.
Yeah.
They're the least threatened by this. Number two, you have the pediatric group.
The American Academy of Pediatrics.
Who is advising schools to reopen for a lot of different reasons. One of them being kids need companionship.
Right.
They need to get back together again. They, you know, the distance learning thing doesn't work for a 6 and 7 and 8 year old. They need to be with other kids. Right. And so often that is dismissed by the opposition party, the value of being back together again.
I know how to solve this problem. If they just asked me, I could tell them.
Oh, okay.
If schools are not going to be open and teachers are not going to be working, then we shouldn't be paying for schools. We shouldn't be paying teachers' salaries. Like everybody else who gets laid off, maybe they can go ahead and apply for unemployment, but we're not going to just keep paying their salary. Send the money that we would automatically send to the schools and teachers to parents who are now teaching their kids.
Yes.
If that were to happen, those schools would be open in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I think so. That's what would happen. But anyway, we will see as it rolls along. Now, there are some states that have already made the commitment. I think it was the state of Florida made a definitive announcement this week that schools there are going to reopen. And yes, we've seen an uptick in cases. And Ray, going back to your point on this, there's a big difference between the number of cases going up,
right,
and the death rate is less than 1%. And again, we say for those who have lost family members, our hearts and prayers go out to you. And we're not minimizing that, but it is less than 1%, and it's been consistent. In fact, the United States death rate because of the coronavirus is one of the lowest in the world.
Look, I was on a website earlier this morning called the coronavirusbellcurve.com, where they aggregate all of those figures, and you can, from every state, the death rate, the warm states versus the cold states, and you can look it up there. And on coronavirusbellcurve.com, it just shows it clearly. Yes, the case count's going up, but the president's right. When we've tested 40 million people, Fred, when you test that many, you're just going to find a whole bunch of cases, the symptomatic cases and the asymptomatic cases. Mm-hmm. The graph that you need to follow is look at the number of people who are dying, and that has been going down month after month, week after week. We're way below the high levels in April, suggesting to me that we're not to the end yet, right? We all agree. And every single person who gets this and has the symptoms needs to be treated. And our hearts do go out for every single person who's lost their lives because of the coronavirus. We pray for the vaccine to be developed soon. But having said all that, we are, Fred, slowly, we are moving in the right direction. And the economy is opening back up. And we got to get our kids back in school. We have to do that. We can't go, unless you're going to go to homeschooling for the whole nation, which I don't think is the direction the country wants to go. We've got to get the nurseries and the elementary schools, junior highs and high schools, we've got to get them open back up.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Alex McFarland, host of Exploring the Word, and joins us usually on every Wednesday. And he is with us right now from home turf in North Carolina.
Yes, greetings from the Tar Heel State.
Uh-huh.
And our family, as yet, is still COVID-free.
still COVID-free. Are you locked down? I mean, you go out, you travel extensively. You go to meetings with young people all over the country. I think that your schedule has been curtailed somewhat, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I had a lot of events get canceled or postponed. And, you know, I'm probably not the best person to look to for mask compliance. I've had a mask on. Like, the only time I ever did was when a couple of weeks ago, I had to fly out west to speak at a college. And I wore a mask on the plane. But you know the funny thing? Okay, I'm on this airplane for 3 hours, and it was 100% full, packed as tightly as sardines, right? Mm. But then when you deplane, they said, please wait and remain seated, and you'll deplane by rows because we want to maintain social distancing as you deplane. And I'm thinking, okay. But yeah, I've not worn a mask, and I'm not saying other people should or shouldn't. I'm just saying that... I'll put it this way. I know a lot of people in the medical field, and it's real, and we are sad for those that have tested positive and fighting this. But look, let's be honest. There are a lot of people that want the economy to crash. Sadly, there are people on the left that have a vested interest in the country imploding, and I think many have seen this COVID situation as a political opportunity to create chaos and fan the flames of anarchy so that it would reflect poorly on the president and hopefully, in their mind, get him defeated. So I'm praying for our country, not only that people would be healthy in body, but they would be saved in their soul. These are strange times for sure.
Yeah. You know, your co-host there on Exploring the Word gave our staff devotion this morning. And I wanted to get your opinion, and it was a great devotion. It was about what our attitude should be, Alex, as Christians during this period. And, you know, Brother Bert was saying, Bert Harper, that, you know, if you look at all the news, especially from the mainstream media, you can get really down. But as Christians, we still have a great message, and that message is the salvation of the Lord.
Amen. I mean, you know, God is in control. And, you know, I care about what's going on. I read the news, and sometimes it is rather unsettling. But God is in control, and the truth wins. The truth wins. I do think this is the time for the church to really be on point and to stay informed. I would implore my fellow pastors and ministers out there to speak truth to your congregations and to remind the parishioners in all the churches that we are to be salt and light. Hey, by the way, let me ask this. Anybody around this table, were any of you on the phone call yesterday with Vice President Pence?
No. You know, I was invited. No, I wasn't.
Well,
no.
You know, there was a call yesterday with the Vice President, and listen to this. It's such a great thing. I mean, he was basically saying, and I'm not going to share the entirety of the conversation, but he basically said, look, the church is the backbone of this nation. Hmm. And he said, please pray for the country. Please pray for this administration. Know that we in the White House are praying for you. But he said, we want you all to know that your First Amendment rights of religion, religious expression, are not going to be infringed upon, and that this White House is committed to our First Amendment right of freedom of religion. And he prayed. And it was a brief, it was probably not 15 to 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. I got a little notification to be on this call. But I think this administration gets it. And I don't mean to be doom and gloom, because you're right, the Lord is in control. But friend, everything about America, from our liberties, our freedoms, our prosperity, our stability, everything hangs in the balance right now. And the next 4 months, and again, I'm not discounting God's intervention, but look, folks, we need to be not only the people of God, but good citizens, because the next 4 months will define the America that will exist for the rest of our lives.
Boy, that word right there is something that we need to keep in mind. Alex, you deal a lot with young people, and young people today are interested in the entertainment world. And one figure from the entertainment world has been getting a lot of attention lately in evangelical circles. That is Kanye West. And up until just a few days ago, he was on the Trump team. But he has now stated that basically he's throwing away the Trump hat. Now, yesterday in an interview, and this is where I want to get your reaction, he said that God has told him to run for president. So he's off the Trump team. What I wanted to get your reaction to, I always get a check in my spirit when someone says something like that, God told me, in this case, Kanye West, to run for president, or God told me to buy the $1 million house, or God told me to take the $20,000 vacation. I get a check in my spirit when I hear somebody say that. Should I get that check in my spirit, Alex?
Yeah, I think so, because when somebody says, God told me this or that, that's unfalsifiable. It's very subjective. And I know God does speak to people and God tells people things. Predominantly, God speaks to the believers through the content of his word. Mm. And God will never tell a Christian to do something contrary to the scripture. Let me say the good about Kanye West. I listened to his album, Jesus is King, which made a huge splash last year. And I was actually on Fox News, you know, talking about the incredible positive thing, because a lot of young people were listening to that. God has been working in Kanye's life, and the lyrics of his album were overtly, explicitly Christian, and he's, you know, preached, and I think he's led lots and lots and lots of people to Christ. And to the degree that he's been preaching the gospel, he's been an overwhelmingly good influence in recent months. But let me just say this about the election. I don't think God has told him to run for president. For one thing, you know, he is kind of a latter-day version now of Ross Perot. I mean, Ross Perot, all Ross Perot did is siphon off votes from Bush Sr. And this is no time. Look, we're you know, 4 or 5 months away from the election. This is no time for distractions. It will be between Trump and Biden. And I don't know if in his zeal, Kanye's just maybe a little bit, I don't know. I'm not going to say it's a vanity project. Only God knows his heart. But he's not qualified. There's not time. There's even at least 4 states where it's too late to even, you know, get on the ballot, mm-hmm. One of which is Texas. And you don't go to the White House without Texas. So, look, he's not serious. He might be serious, but his candidacy is not serious.
We talked a little bit about this yesterday, I think, and he's running on the birthday party, and he's pro-Wakanda. So if that tells you anything about how pro-Wakanda, if it tells you anything about how his campaign is going to go, I don't think anybody's going to take it seriously. Wakanda, for those of you the uninitiated into the Marvel comic world, is a hidden country in Africa that is far advanced above anything that the rest of the world has seen. Richer, more. It's basically giving. It gave African Americans in this country, black people around the world, just a kind of a dream country. So, but it's a great film, by the way. I love the film. But to say that's your platform, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, this is like. This is going to go way back. I'm going to show my age a little bit here. There was a guy named Pat Paulson.
Yeah,
and he used to be on the Smothers Brothers show, mm-hmm. and he would run for president every 4 years on the none of the above ticket or party, and anyway, I mean this it's not serious. Bless his heart, you know. I think this is just it'll make a little bit of ink PR wise, and it'll fall away. Maybe someday, but he's not ready, and this is not the year for Kanye to seriously launch a candidacy.
All right, Dr. Alex McFarland, the co-host for Exploring the Word. You and Bert are on again this afternoon. What book are you dealing with right now?
We're in the Gospel of Matthew. All year we've been in the Old Testament, so we began Matthew, and we'll be in Matthew chapter 3. And hey, I just want to say to everybody, this month my speaking tour resumes. I'll be at the Cove July 27 through 30, doing Daniel and Revelation, Bible prophecy, how God writes history in advance. And if you've never been to The Cove, it's beautiful. Their website is The Cove, C-O-V-E, thecove.org, the Billy Graham Training Center. And we always, every time I go, I think this is my 14th summer, we always see lots of great AFR listeners from around the country, and we'd love for you to be there. And there is still time to register.
Yeah, I was there last year. It's a great presentation from Dr. Alex. Yeah.
God bless you. God bless you. And join us at 3 o'clock Central for Exploring the Word.
Sounds great. Dr. Alex McFarland, thank you so much as always.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, you know, Joe Biden yesterday, now this is, there's been speculation that Joe Biden, in order to succeed, must have the support of the Bernie Sanders people. And some from some quarters of the Democratic Party, we know the belief is that the Democratic Party officials did not want Bernie Sanders at the top of the ticket because they figured there's no way that he could beat Donald Trump. So the support swung towards Joe Biden. However, there is also the realization that the Sanders group is starting to represent more and more people. So I guess we shouldn't be surprised that there was a document released yesterday that kind of starts to marry the agenda of Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden. Now, I want you to have a listen to Joe Biden yesterday gave an interview with activist, is it Addie Barkin?
Exactly.
Addie Barkin. And I want you to have a listen. This is going to be cut to Brent. As to what Joe Biden, now, a couple of things. Back in June, for instance, Joe Biden said, didn't go along with the call for defunding police. All right? That's what he said back in June. So I want you to listen carefully to where Joe Biden has kind of moved his political kind of thinking at this moment. Cut number two.
Before you do that, you're going to hear Addie Bark. Can in this right, and it's, he's on a computer. He's got a voice synthesizer because he has ALS. So that's what you're hearing when you hear Addie Barkin.
Surplus military equipment for law enforcement. They don't need that. The last thing you need is an up-armored Humvee coming into a neighborhood. It's like the military invading. They don't know anybody. They become the enemy. They're supposed to be protecting these people. So my generic point is that...
Do we agree that we can redirect some of the funding?
Yes, absolutely.
Redirect some of the funding... Take some of the military equipment away from our police force and local authorities. Now, Ray, we've heard this before in recent days from some other quarters of the Democratic Party. And what I'm talking about is Congresswoman Omar from Minnesota. She talked about this in the last 48 hours. She had a news conference.
And look, this is Bernie Sanders. This is the squad,
yes,
right?
Yes.
This is the left wing protesters out on the street burning and looting, and their apologists in our society. These are the people who are crying out, defund the police, and who are now, you know, they're spray painting it on streets across America, defund the police. It's pretty shocking to hear. I mean, hear a guy like Joe Biden, who the media likes to portray as a, quote, moderate Democrat, who basically now has bought into the far-left worldview, hook, line, and sinker. Maybe, Fred, it's just a play to – it's a message to Bernie and his supporters. Look, we're in this together. Let's unify and let's win the White House. It's a complete sellout, and it's the end of any – it's the end of the myth that Biden is a moderate. He is not. He's not any kind of a moderate. He's as left as the rest of them.
Steve?
What will be interesting to see is if he will endorse what's a new bill that the squad has put forward. This is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Ariana Pressley, and the one from New York. No, the other one.
Tlaib.
Rashida Tlaib. Thank you.
Right.
Yeah. They have introduced a thing called the BREATHE Act. And basically what this thing will do, it will eliminate the police. It will legalize prostitution, legalize drugs. It will do away with prisons completely.
Mm.
This is the socialist dream bill, and it's being introduced in Congress from the squad, and it's going to be interesting to see if Biden can go there.
Well, I think he's already moving in that direction, because in this position paper that has been released, it's over 100 pages long, he starts to sound like he wants to change the way this country operates economically. He talks about that. I mean, there are portions in this document, folks, and this was part of the Fox News coverage this morning, that are identical in wording from Bernie Sanders' platform when he was running for president.
You mean he stole the language?
Yes, like he did when he was first year right. law school. And he said, I didn't think that was a problem, that they're plagiarizing. But anyway, the economic plan of Joe Biden that's being released, being put out there, I tell you folks, it represents more of the Bernie Sanders angle of the party. And to that point, this morning on Fox and Friends, the minority leader in the House for the Republicans, Kevin McCarthy, saying that basically the Democrat 2020 platform is socialism. Cut number one.
This is not a unity group. This is a surrendering to the socialist. If Joe Biden has been in Washington for more than 40 years and hasn't been able to do any of that, from criminal justice reform and others, why do we think we're going to have something different? President Trump did do criminal justice reform. He did open up opportunity zones. He has taken executive order when it comes to police reform. So this president is taking action. Joe Biden has a long history of doing nothing, but now he shows that he'll even surrender to the socialist wing of the party. Because remember, Bernie Sanders is not a Democrat. He was registered as a socialist, ran as a socialist, and that's what the new wing of the party is craving.
All right, that was Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader. One of the other things in this document that you need to be aware of, and that Joe Biden is moving further to the left on, is with regards to climate change and climate change policy. And folks, if there's anything you need to be aware of, and some people just dismiss, oh, climate change, that's been around for a long time. It goes back to Al Gore. No. I think, Ray, people need to realize climate change policy will affect every aspect of your life.
If
the Democrats get what they want, gas prices will go up. Food prices will go up. Your take-home pay will go down.
You know, I read that tweet from Joe Biden the other day. He said his goal is to fundamentally transform America. Hmm. You know the old saying, when people tell you what they are, we ought to believe it. When they show you what they are, we ought to believe it. Joe Biden is moving to the left as fast as he possibly can, because can we all agree, guys, he cannot win without Bernie's supporters. No. He can't, if the far left abandons him, he has absolutely no hope in November. So he's going as far left as possible. In a way, I think this is a good thing, because it paints the contrast so clearly that nobody can deny it. President Trump stands for one vision of America. Joe Biden is not just on the other side, but he wants a completely different kind of America. I think it's good for it to be painted that way, so Americans can make their choice in November.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Ray. What people have to do, and Steve, is listen to what the politicians are saying. Be very clear about that. Now, the mainstream media will try to hide a lot of the leftist leanings and where Joe Biden is going. Mm-hmm. They'll try to hide that. And we know they are the enemy of conservatives, and certainly of President Donald Trump. But be very careful. Do a lot of research, folks, and listen to conservative radio, because we will give you the big picture in all of this.
Right.
All right. Our first hour is over. We're coming back right after the news. There is a very, very interesting prediction out there this morning about who's going to win the election. And it comes from a fairly credible source. And again, if you listen to the mainstream media, president doesn't have a chance. If you listen to the polls, president doesn't have a chance. Well, think again. We're back after the news.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.